It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Unfortunately, it is a painful reality that one day all professional fighters will have to retire. If you've been watching MMA for any amount of time, you've probably already seen it happen, and maybe you've even had to watch your favorite fighter slowly decline and burn out. Sometimes a retirement performance can be a bit of a sad affair, especially if that fighter is a shell of their former selves. But there is nothing more awesome than watching a fighter make their final walk to the cage and absolutely go out swinging, regardless of where they are in their career or how the tail ends. Of it has played out, these fighters bit down on their mouthpiece and made one last stand. Alright guys, well the UFC is heading back to Brazil for the next upcoming pay-per-view. And once again, we've teamed up with DraftKings to bring you closer to the action. Right now, all new customers who bet just $5 are going to get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Make sure you download the DraftKings app and sign up using our code MMA on point. And yeah, I'll say that again. Brand new customers who bet just $5, you're going to get $200 in bonus bets. If you want, you can stay in on the action. Take that $200 in bonus bets and use it on some DraftKings parlays. The same game parlays offer you a chance at an even bigger payout. You could also combine multiple bets together from the same fight, including number of rounds or method of victory. The more bets you combine, the bigger you can win. If sports betting is not yet available in your state, don't worry. You can still join in on all the fun with DraftKings Daily Fantasy. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. New customers bet just $5, get $200 in bonus bets, but make sure you use the code ONPOINT. That's promo code ONPOINT only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. I'm Bailey in from MMA on Point. Got to, as always, give a shout out to all of you Hall of Fame channel supporters out there. Massive appreciation to you as always. And these are 10 legendary fighters who went out on their shield. Number 10, Brad Pickett. If you're a fan of this channel, you might have seen Brad Pickett make an appearance or two at some point.
Oh, be a man!
If you didn't get to watch his career as it happened, One Punch Brad was basically known as a guy who walks into the fire and was willing to take a punch to, well, knock you out, basically. Throughout his MMA career, he picked up multiple Performance of the Night bonuses.
Brad Pickett is a fun fighter, because every fight Brad Pickett's in, he's usually in the pocket throwing bombs with somebody and, you know, he ends up catching him and knocking him out.
But after 13 years as a pro, Brad made one more walk to the UFC octagon in his hometown of London in 2017. Now, the UFC didn't exactly softball him an easy opponent for his last fight either. He got Marlon Chito Vera early on in his own UFC career. But despite being 38 and having picked up a fair few losses towards the end of his UFC career, One Punch didn't miss a beat and he came out with his same aggressive style and game plan, taking the fight to Chito, believing, as always, he could KO anyone. With just about a minute left in the third round, however, Chito managed to connect on a head kick that knocked Brad down and forced a stoppage. Brad didn't win his last UFC fight, but he got to go down swinging and put on the kind of performance that made him one of Dana White's favourite fighters. Number 9, Joanna Jędrzejczyk. I think considering the landscape of women's MMA, most of us took Joanna for granted when she was a champion racking up title defences. She brought nothing but excitement to that division, and after a 10-year-long career, she'd only ever lost to three women. At that point, she'd just put on the 2020 fight of the year with Zhang Weili, but then took 2 years off. I mean, she got really banged up in that fight, had that crazy hematoma. When she did come back, she decided she was going to have one more fight, and it was going to be a rematch of that fight of the year against Weili. Immediately, she went back to war with her, but you could almost tell right away the 2 years Joanna had been away, well, Zhang Weili had only gotten better, faster, and Joanna, well, was still kind of the same, and at the end of her career. That didn't stop Jędrzejczyk from using pretty much the same game plan, even though it wasn't really working. She banged it out on the feet with Weili going back and forth trading strikes until she just couldn't take any more. She got KO'd by a crazy spinning back fist. She was outmatched and outgunned, but it did not stop her from throwing down in her final fight. Number 8, Ed Herman. I'm not entirely sure what the average length of a UFC career is, but certainly if you've been there for more than, 7, 8 years, you've done a cracking job. Better than a lot of people. And although most fans probably wouldn't even recognize Ed Herman if you saw him on the street, the man managed to come off The Ultimate Fighter in 2006, rack up 27 UFC fights over the course of the next 17 years. That's pretty legendary, if you ask me. Still, at the end of his career, after 2 years off, he came back in 2023 to have one last ride against another man who was looking to also hang up his gloves, Zach Cummins. Now, both guys were trying to retire. What an awesome fight the UFC made there, and respect was given on both sides. Zach Cummins went out there, though, and absolutely put it on Ed Herman from the opening bell. He must have dropped him at least 4 times in that fight. The damage kept building and building, and the final image we have of Ed Herman in the UFC cage is his back to the fence, covered in blood, and still swinging trying to knock Cummins out, even though he could barely stand up anymore. Zach had a fantastic performance in his retirement. Ed wasn't so lucky, but he absolutely refused to give up and kept fighting until his body just wouldn't let him. Both men then got to share their retirements together. Number 7, Luke Rockhold. Now, despite just knocking out Joe Schilling in karate combat and picking up another win for MMA fighters, Luke Rockhold definitely went for a period of time where he wasn't exactly everyone's favourite. What he did in Strikeforce in the UFC, capturing world titles, definitely makes him a legendary fighter, but it was kind of his confidence that was taken as arrogance by the fans, and that's why people slowly started to turn on him.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up.
If you think something, the likelihood of it happening is very slim. If you believe in something, if you know something is going to happen, if you're confident in that situation, you will achieve things in life. That's how you overcome things. That's how you put yourself out there. You believe it and you achieve it. And that's what I do. I know what I'm going to do.
Shut the fuck up.
He suffered a lot of knockout losses towards the end of career against people he said he was going to beat. And by the time he was matched up with Paulo Costa in his last UFC fight, he'd almost taken 3 years off from the sport. Now, that took some balls, especially going up against Paulo Costa, and I think the fan base realised that. Once the fight started, Rockhold was relentlessly walked down, just throwing kicks and whatever he could to keep the eraser off him. It didn't help, the fight was at altitude, and as both guys slowed down, it became an absolute slugfest. Luke's nose got destroyed, and he went all Fight Club and just smeared it all over Paulo's face. It was great. It seemed almost that in that one fight, one display of determination against the extreme adversity Costa had put him under, Rockhold was able to win back the fans as he went out on his shield. He wasn't successful trying to get the W, but my God, did he try. Number 6, Chad Mendes. On paper, the career of the alpha male Chad Mendes is actually pretty impressive. He was 11-0 when he first fought for a UFC world title. He didn't win that one, but then he won 5 more fights before he went up against Jose Aldo again and came up short once more. But even at that point, he had a pretty stellar MMA career. But after about 8 years, he started to slow down. A couple of tough losses to Frankie Edgar and Conor McGregor, and then Chad had to sit out for 3 more years after a USADA violation. After 10 years, though, Chad had told himself he was going to give it one last run towards the title, and the UFC gave him Alexander Volkanovski. Now, Alex came in looking to add Chad to his list of credentials to fight for the title, but Mendes gave him absolutely everything he could handle, and we saw Alex pretty much go for adversity for the first time in his UFC career. Chad went toe-to-toe with the future champion until he just couldn't anymore. He slumped down against the cage after a fight of the night performance where he threw everything at Alex, and that would be Chad's last fight in mixed martial arts. Number 5, Brian Stann. If you know, you know, and if you caught any of former WEC champion Brian Stann's MMA commentary, it's fair to say he's probably being missed as much for that by fans as he was for his actual fights inside the cage. Brian was an absolute MMA machine. He would throw down with anyone, living by the diehard principle of, if I can punch harder, faster, and more than you, I'm probably going to win. Now, I'm not going to say that kind of a style lends itself to a career of longevity, and 7 years as a pro might sound like a short time, especially compared to everyone else on this list, but Stann was also a guy who had a lot of other things going on outside the cage. I mean, the guy was a goddamn war hero. Between 2009 and 2011, Brian had won 5 of his last 6 UFC fights, but his all-action style was starting to wear out. In Brian's last UFC fight, they went back to Japan, where he took on Wanderlei Silva in the same Saitama Super Arena he competed in Pride. Brian himself was actually born on a military base in Japan, so I'm sure it was a nice homecoming in a way for him as well.
Both guys have one strategy: step forward and blast.
Now, Brian had said he was going to be technical for this one and not brawl, but that is not what happened.
Brian Stann really pursuing and backing Wanderlei Silva.
Couple uppercuts landing on the inside for Stann. And Wanderlei says, bring it. And they're slugging away. Silva goes down again.
After a back and forth war, Wanderlei landed a hellacious combo and put Brian away.
Huge shot in from Wanderlei Silva. Oh, my God. Wanderlei Silva.
Stan had said before the fight he needed to get past Vanderlei to move forward in his career, and I think he was also pretty frustrated that he'd gotten away from the game plan.
My heart's broken, but I'm still proud that I put my name on the line and I fought him.
Stan admitted that he'd taken headshots in pretty much every sport he'd been in his whole life and retired to spend more time with his kids and family. Still went out on his shield, though.
One more fight! One more fight!
Number four, Glover Teixeira. Not many fighters are pro for 10 years before they get to the UFC. At that point, you'd think most people would give up or already be near the end of their careers, but Glover took 12 years to get his first UFC title shot, and then another 7 in the UFC before he finally got to fight for it again. By the end of his career, he'd had over 40 fights. After he finally won UFC gold, though, he'd only have 2 more fights before he'd hang up the gloves. The final fight of his career came against Jamal Hill on short notice in Brazil. When he walked into the cage in Rio, he was completing a professional fighting journey of 21 years. And Glover has always been known for his toughness, but over the course of that fight, Hill would put a beating on Glover that surely would have ended pretty much anyone else right there.
The return with... Oh! And
that one won with Teixeira now!
Teixeira, though, kept fighting back as he started to look worse and worse, but refused to quit. And every time he thought it might be over, he hung in there.
They were shopping Glover, who now goes down.
Sadly, that meant his retirement speech came in front of a near empty arena in Rio. But even at 43 years old, he'd once again given everything he could in his final fight. Number three, Chuck Liddell. There's been different stages to the UFC's development. You had the early years when it just started, the dark ages when MMA was made illegal, then the fight with Forrest Griffin and Bonner, that was the tough boom, and they basically saved the UFC. That kickstarted a new era, and the two coaches for that season fought for the light heavyweight championship, Randy Couture and Chuck Liddell, and Chuck KO'd Randy and became the champ. By the end of that year, he was the biggest star in UFC history. Once 2006 was over, though, Chuck's career started to take a downward slide, and over the next 2 years, he was knocked out 3 times. Going into 2010, he was 4 years removed as the champion, and Chuck had been fighting in MMA for 12 years. It didn't seem like he could really take a punch anymore. Pretty much everyone was asking him to retire. But Chuck wanted one last fight and one more chance to take things seriously. He stopped drinking, fixed his diet, and went up against the former middleweight champion, Rich Franklin.
It's so interesting, the fact that he's, you know, had all this pressure to retire, but he thinks he's more left in him.
Chuck made his pro debut in the UFC, and here he was at fight number 23, more than anyone had had at that point in UFC history. Despite the knockout losses he'd already suffered, there was nothing gun-shy about Chuck's final UFC performance. He still believed wholeheartedly in his ability to KO Rich. Every time he got tagged, he was throwing back. I mean, he broke Franklin's arm with a kick. That aggression, though, led him right into a counterpunch from Franklin, but he still marauded forward like the Chuck of old. He just couldn't take a punch anymore.
Rich trying to get him down. He's down.
You gotta suspect this is the last time we see Chuck Liddell in the octagon.
Number two, Tyron Woodley. Some people didn't really think Tyron Woodley deserved to fight for the UFC belt, and then he knocked out Robbie Lawler in one punch, and it was like, okay then, fair enough. Then he made 4 title defenses before the rest of the division caught up to him, and he lost the belt. Now, he'd already been a pro for 10 years at this point, and then the next 2 years, he dropped more losses to top contenders, and it didn't really feel like he was losing, more that he'd just stopped fighting. I mean, he didn't win a single round. And in his last 4 fights, he'd thrown less strikes combined than what Max Holloway had landed in a single round against Calvin Kattar.
My last 3 fights didn't really make a lot of sense to me, and I really didn't understand or didn't really place it, but I was just there, and I was just watching myself lose.
He'd been given the label gun-shy by fans and media, and going into his final fight against Vicente Luque, that was pretty much what everyone thought they were going to see again, which is a shame because he'd been so devastating with his striking early on. But in the build-up, it seemed like Woodley had switched his mentality.
I don't know. And that's how I felt in the fights. I didn't know. I didn't know why I didn't punch. My last sparring day, Saturday, and I was just a machine. And I was just kicking and punching, kicking and punching. And I said, nobody should make me back up.
And you know what? That is exactly what we saw in the Luque fight. A different chosen one. He immediately got to work. He was letting his hands go and throwing in combinations.
Still dropped him.
Even when he started to get tagged by Luque, he didn't back down and was determined to fire back. If Woodley was going out this way, he was going down swinging.
Oh, not bad.
Vicente was just too durable and too accurate, and Tyron got finished and subbed in just 4 minutes. Still, in those 4 minutes, Tyron had thrown 18 significant strikes, which set a personal best for his striking output above any fight in his entire career. And I think that is almost the definition of going out on your shield. Of course, we got some time for some honourable mentions, including some legends that held on a bit longer. All credit to them for going out on their shield, but maybe some of these losses were just a bit too predictable. Like when Frank Shamrock fought Nick Diaz in his last fight at the end of his career, he gave everything gritting his teeth in that one. Obviously, there's Fedor Emelianenko going up against Ryan Bader for his final fight, and Fedor only knows one way to fight. He went down absolutely swinging as well. Marlon Moraes was suffering 6 stoppage losses in a row and was still throwing back when hurt in his final fight. He was still so determined to win, even after all that defeat. Paul Felder, in his last year as a fighter, took on both Hooker and RDA, 2 fight of the nights, and both fights where he gave absolutely everything before retiring. Dan Henderson, of course, gave everything when he tried to knock off Mike Bisping's head when he finally got another UFC title shot in his retirement fight. And Chris Lieben, you know, he went up against Uriah Hall in his last MMA fight. The Crippler was outgunned by the much younger, more athletic guy, but he kept walking forward and trying to land that one shot. He ended up quitting on the stool because he just couldn't take any more. All right, number one, the Korean Zombie. Well, for a man who built a career, an image, a legacy out of throwing himself into combat, it only makes sense that he went out the same way. He was exposed to US audiences when he came to the country for the first time and lost in both his WEC fights, but also put on memorable performances. It basically means he was marching forward like a zombie. 1 year later, when he was in the UFC, he picked up the first twister submission ever in the rematch with Garcia. And then his career played out as a fan favorite. We lost him for 2 years at one point because of military service. But by 2022, he was given a second UFC title shot against Alexander Volkanovski. And no one expected the zombie to win, and Alex put on an absolute beating. Now that was emotional to see, as Zombie kind of realized he'd never win a world title, but he took one more fight in the UFC before calling it quits. And he could have fought anybody, but decided to fight the literal number one contender, Max Holloway. He was, again, on paper, outgunned and outmatched by the former champion. But even after 3 rounds of punishment, the Zombie kept marching forward, giving the fans what they wanted, and kept firing off until he went out on his shield. For 11 years straight, Zombie headlined every single UFC card he was on, 2 pay-per-view main events and 8 fight nights where he was given the spotlight, and every single time he delivered in victory or defeat. Ooh, bit heavy, this topic today, okay? Legendary fighters getting finished in their final fight. Not always a positive subject, but they all went out on their shield. That's the goddamn point. They went out fighting as they basically spent most of their careers. Hope you enjoyed this one today. Got to give a shout out to Luke Taylor. Thank you for editing the video, Luke. Show him some love on his socials at CoolToMe_, or check out his new YouTube channel as well. And one more shout out as well to all the MMA On Point Hall of Famers. Thank you. You can join them, guys. Click the link down below or the button to join. It's only $2.99. There's a bunch of stuff you get on the channel, unedited podcasts, writers meeting access, and a bit more as well. You can become a member of the family. But either way, let us know what you thought down below. Give us a thumbs up if you enjoyed the video, guys, as well. And subscribe if you want to see more from us. Thank you, though, guys. Appreciate you. Hope you enjoyed this one today. Looking forward to the next one. I will see you then. Take care.